We saw at the end of chapter 3 that the man and his wife were ashamed of each other. They were ashamed of the Lord. They made coverings to hide from each other. They hid behind the trees before the Lord. They didn't want to. Their relationship between each other and their relationship with the Lord had been ruined. There was separation there. There was a gap. There was shame there. But I want you to watch in the first couple of verses of chapter 4. Look, the man had relations with his wife Eve. Their relationship had been restored. That though initially sin caused a separation and shame and division between the other, there is restoration here. And she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Listen, here's what's happening here. Is that in verse 1 of chapter 4, we see God's grace all over this. Because we see, while we see the effects of sin at the end of chapter 3, we see God's grace here at the beginning of chapter 4, that Adam and Eve, their relationship has been restored. Eve is able to conceive, and even despite the pain of childbirth that is part of the curse, she finds joy in her child because she praises God for it, and she recognizes that it is God's help who has given her this child. And so in their restoration, in the joy that Eve has, and in the child that's given them. Listen, God didn't have to do that. This is God's grace. Despite the effects of sin, God is still good. And they are able to see, they're able to recognize, and the Holy Spirit preserves it for us, that there is grace even in the spite of devastating consequences of sin. But watch this. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel was a shepherd. Cain was a farmer. Cain was a row crop farmer. And so you had two different strengths, two different talents, two different gifts, two different interests, and that's okay. Nothing wrong with either one of them at this point. But let's keep watching. It came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground, a good thing. Cain wasn't rejecting the Lord. Cain was doing a good thing. He brought an offering to the Lord, right? Who would criticize Cain for bringing an offering to the Lord? Verse 4. Abel on his part also brought... Now watch this. The Bible just tells us Cain brought an offering. We get no description of Cain's offering. But we get detailed descriptions, two of them, of Abel's offering. Look at the difference. Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock. So here, first description is that Abel brought the firstlings, meaning the best. Of the lambs that he had, there was a couple of them that were stronger than the others. There was a couple of them that had grown faster than the others. There was a couple of them that were healthier just in terms of their overall health and strength and growth. And Abel said, you know what? Man, God is so good. God's given me everything that I want. Man, these two that are the strongest and the best, those are the ones that I'm going to give to the Lord. Scripture points that out to us. Then watch. Not only did he bring us the best that he had, the best sheep that he had, it says of their fat portions. He didn't just bring the best lambs, he brought the best portions of the lambs. And so he kills those two lambs and he skins them. And as he's taken the meat off of the bone, you know, every hunter knows, you protect. It doesn't matter what you do with that deer, but you protect what? The loins. You protect those loins. Why? Because that's the best. And so as he's taking the meat and he's pulling the loins off of that lamb, and they're marbled. You know, you get a good ribeye, and it's got the marbling, it's got the fat mixed in with the meat, and you know that's good. And Abel, as he's dressing those lambs, and he says, man, this looks like good meat. This is the best sheep that I had, and you know what? This is the best portion of the best sheep that I had, and that's what I want to give to the Lord, because the Lord is worthy of that. So that's what Abel brings. Abel brings the best sheep and the best portions of the best sheep. Cain just brought an offering. It says, but for Cain, And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard.
But I mean, okay, so Abel did bring the best, but Cain, I mean, Cain brought an offering. Isn't it enough just that he brought one? I mean, who would criticize Cain just for bringing an offering? I mean, come on. Isn't it just good that he did something?
No. No, it's not. Because God is not interested in our offering. God is interested in our hearts. God is not interested in what we bring. God is interested in why we bring it.
Abel said, man, this is what the Lord is worthy of. My time, my talents, my treasure, my focus, my priorities, my plans, my dreams, all of it.
Abel said, here's the best. That's what I'm going to bring to the Lord because of who God is. Look at the grace that He's given. He let my mama have two men. He let my mama see the joy even though they sinned. He restored my mom and my dad. Praise God. I'm going to give Him my best. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to find my passion somewhere else. I'm not going to just go through. I got a ham here. But you know what? I like to eat the ribeye, so that's what I'm going to bring to the Lord because He's worthy of that. I'm not going to just go give the Lord a little bit and just say, okay, I did that. But really, my priority, my focus, my love somewhere else.
And so God says, no, Cain, it's not enough that you just bring something. That's not enough. I want your heart. Don't just bring something. Don't just say, well, I showed up and I brought my offering. Because God might not be pleased with that. In fact, we can see here that He's not. God didn't want it. God didn't want His offering. Now watch, because this is really super duper important. What happens when God says to Cain, I don't want that?
Cain gets angry.
Cain's response to God's rejection of His offering is that he got angry. You ever seen a two-year-old when you tell them no? You know what they do? They get angry. Why? Because they think they should have that. No.
Why?
And they throw a fit. Why? Because they think they're right and they want it. And they think that they should have it. And you know what? Really, a two-year-old throwing a fit is telling his parents, you don't know best, I do, and I want it, and you're wrong. That's what it means, by the way. When a two-year-old throws a fit, you'd be surprised. You wouldn't think a two-year-old would spit in his mother's eye for a sip of milk. It's true. If he were big enough. Here's what's happening. Cain doesn't throw a fit, but Cain is pretty confident that he is right. God, you should accept my offering. I'm right here. God, you're wrong. God, I brought this, and you should just be glad that I brought something. And so Cain gets angry. Now watch. Watch. The Lord is good. What would you do with a guy like this? Watch what God does. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Cain, what are you doing? Why are you angry? And watch, God says, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? God gives Cain an opportunity here. Okay, Cain, you've been called out. Cain, you've been told that what you are doing is wrong. Cain, you have been told that I am not pleased with that. But Cain, you have a real opportunity here. Cain, if you will do well. See, here's what Cain could do. At this point when God said, no, I don't want that, Cain could have stepped back and he said, okay, God. All right, God, I'm sorry. God, what is it that you want? What would you have me to bring? And you know what God says? Cain, if you do well, won't your countenance be lifted up? You know what? God would have accepted that. God would have let him And it would have been complete restoration because God is gracious.
But Cain, no. Cain's not interested in understanding and learning and correcting what God wants. Cain's not interested in finding out what would please the Lord. Cain thinks he's right. But God says, Cain, if you do well, let's stop right here for just a second. And maybe it is that in your life, there are some things, and God has said, I do not want that. And listen, we're not talking about in terms of rejection, in terms of Cain's sin. We're not talking about what we would consider some big, awful, heinous sin. We're just talking about, hey, all he's doing is going through the motions without the heart behind it. You add in their direct disobedience, and God says, I definitely don't want that. I don't want you to just go through the motions and love this other thing more, but say that you just checked this off. I don't want that. I don't want sin in your life. I don't want that. And now, you have an opportunity to stop. And God says, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? Because we can stop and we can say, oh, God, you are right. God, I am sorry. God, I, by the way, that's what repentance and confession is, agreeing with God. I'm sorry. And we find out, okay, God, what is it that pleases you? What is it that you want from me? And listen, God is gracious and will forgive and receive. God's gracious. But I want you to see, God goes a little further. And God is explaining to Cain what the real situation is. See, Cain was not able to understand the whole situation. God needed to explain it to him. Watch what God says. God says, Cain, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you. But what you need to do is master it. Here's what happens. God is explaining to Cain, and God is saying, Cain, this is a little more important than you think it is. Cain, this circumstance is a little bigger than what you think it is, because what's happening, Cain, right here at this moment where you are convicted of sin and what you do with it, what's actually happening is that sin personified. Sin is waiting at your door, and sin is watching what you do, and sin is waiting to take over. See, we think when we're tempted, oh, you know, this won't have any long-term consequences. See, I can do this, and it's all going to be fine. It's all going to be all right. No, it's not. No, it's not. A little bit of sin. Maybe nobody will ever know. Maybe nobody else. But wait a minute. The situation is this. Sin is crouching at your door, and it is waiting to take over because it wants to rule you. Even the smallest temptation is that important. That is the reality for even the smallest temptation. That ought to scare the daylights out of us. And listen, this is not a guy who doesn't have some kind of relationship with the Lord to start with. This is a man in whose life the Lord is known and in whose life the Lord is working. This is not some unbeliever that's never heard the name of Jesus before who now needs to clean his life up and stop sinning in order to be saved. That's not what he's talking about. Cain has seen the Lord work. Cain knows the Lord. The Lord speaks directly to Cain, and he is facing temptation. In fact, he's already sinned. God gives him a measure of grace, and now he has a decision what to do. By the way, let me just say, when God gives you an opportunity, don't think that God's grace is an excuse to keep sinning. Think of God's grace as an opportunity to repent. Because here's what we think. We think, oh, well, I did this and it turned out all right. That doesn't mean that it will always turn out all right.
And just because God doesn't squash you right away doesn't mean that it's not coming down the road unless you fix it. God gave Cain an opportunity. There's an old saying, a guy named John Owen, who's a Puritan pastor, wrote it, and you've probably seen it on a lot of shirts around here because Snowbird put it on. They used to put it on all their shirts. Goes like this: be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. If we are not fighting, if we're not mastering sin, our responsibility is to fight back, to get the victory, to not make excuses. You start making excuses and sin will kill you. Here's God. Sin is crouching at your door. Teenagers, you just got back. You're on a spiritual high. You know what's going to happen this afternoon? Somebody is going to do something that would naturally make you very upset. And you're going to have an opportunity. And you're going to hear this verse. You need to hear this verse. Sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. Don't make excuses. Don't think it's no small thing. It's significant. Let's watch what Cain did. Verse 8, Cain told his brother. And it came about when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother, killed him. So he started off back when he brought some offerings that he really didn't mean. He was just going through the motions. And it started right there. And God told him, you have a choice. There's an opportunity. There's a situation. You better watch out. And he didn't fix it there when it was just a heart issue. Now it's become something far more significant. Cain kills his brother. Watch what happens. God says, what have you done? Verse 11, you are cursed from the ground which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength. You'll be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. And Cain says, oh God, my punishment's too great for me. Listen, you know what? There's another old saying. It goes like this. If you're going to be stupid, you better be tough. Why? Because sin has consequences. And so Cain is reaping the cost of his own sin. Does God bring pain? I asked this question in Sunday school this morning. If you walk through Psalm 78, does God bring pain into His people's life because of sin? Yes, He does. Cain says, my punishment is too great to bear. And then watch this. This is really fascinating. We're going to close here in just a second. Cain says, oh, you've driven me this day from the face of the ground, and your face I'll be hidden, and I'll be a vagrant, and a wanderer. Nobody's going to like me, and somebody's going to kill me, God, and I don't want that to happen. He killed his brother, but he didn't want anybody to kill him. He knew it was wrong. Now watch this. God is incredibly gracious. So the Lord says, now watch this, I love this, the Lord's wisdom is perfect. God says to Cain, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. God doesn't say, oh, I tell you what, Cain, I'll make it so nobody kills you. That's not what God says. God says, I tell you what, Cain, here's what I'll do. If anybody does kill you, I'll kill them. How's that? Now wait a minute, think about that for a second. Do you think Cain would have wanted the same thing to be done for Abel? What did Cain deserve? By his own punishment, what did Cain deserve? Death. See, God said to Cain, okay, Cain, if anybody kills you, I'll kill them. What about Abel? God was incredibly gracious to Cain. God didn't have to do that. Even in his sin, there's grace. Listen, this passage, this chapter, is all about God's grace, but it is an expose on human sin. And we need to recognize who our God is and how gracious He is, but God's grace is not an excuse for sin. Sin is serious business, and its desire is for you. But you must master it. Don't make excuses for it. Don't lighten it up. Don't think it's okay. Don't think it will be okay, because it won't. Fight it. Master it. Seek the Lord and ask for His strength to empower you to defeat it. God is gracious, but sin is terrible. Father, God, I praise You for Your word. Thank You for showing us in such a dramatic portion of Scripture. God, I ask You, Lord, to work in our hearts. God, I pray that we would never take sin lightly. Oh, God, I ask You to convict us. God, open our eyes to see the significance of temptation and how sin is just waiting. God, I pray that we would seek You and know You. And walking in Your Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God, we thank You for Jesus and Your grace. Thank You for salvation and new life. In His name we pray. Amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And this is, we call this a time of response.